Just hold on to the promises.
Four minutes after the hour, welcome back to Dr. Bill Meyer Live. This is Bill Arnold sitting in for him all week. Yesterday was Monday and today's Tuesday, so it's after today, three more days. And then he's back in the saddle. And my job is to make you miss him. And I know so far so good. Got Aaron at the board, Paul in the phone room. We are absolutely a team and we care about the show and we work as a team. We don't care who gets credit. As long as it's primarily me. Anyway, we are living in a world of technology where we have phones and iPads and iWatches. I don't want to say who has one, but if I looked on my left wrist, I might find one. And I can't believe I got that. I was going to say I suckered for that, but I did. I bought one and I like it. And I hate to say that that gives me one more place to go be involved in technology. And I want to say I like technology because let's say I have an Amazon Echo, for example, so I can ask it questions and it answers me back. So, all right, I'm in trouble. I've got a lot to talk to our next guest about. Arlene Pelicane is the expert on all this, and she is now on our studio line. Arlene, welcome to the show.
I do not have that watch around my wrist right now.
You are so much smarter than me.
It could be only a matter of time, but I'm a late adopter. What can I say?
I'll send you the link as to how to buy one, and you can get one because they are cool. All right, Arlene, we create technology, then it turns around and recreates us. That's kind of a scary thought, isn't it?
Yeah. And technology is great. When I speak to people, I always like to tell them, don't worry, you can keep your cell phone. I will not make you check this in at the door. But it's this idea that do we have the self-control to use this cell phone? And many times, it's so funny for adults even, we're like, no, I can't stop using my technology, whether it's watching TV, whether it's working on the computer. And then you look at children and you throw that in the mix as a parent, and you look at your elementary school kids or even your preschoolers. And then you look at your teenagers, and particularly if you see like a little baby, like a 15-month-old in the shopping cart at the store, and they're holding this big tablet and they are mesmerized and they are missing every single interaction that could be happening in that grocery store, then you kind of worry, like, this does not look very good.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm guilty. I'm a huge hypocrite. I like to say that people need to put their phones down and communicate to each other. I was just in New Orleans over the weekend and flying back. I'm looking around the airport, and I'm thinking no one has any interest in having any communication with anybody other than their phones.
Yeah.
And let's say, go ahead, Arlene.
Well, I was going to say, a lot of times, let's say you're in transit, those kinds of things. So those nice conversations that could happen, they're not happening. I remember a good friend of mine, she is a publicist in New York City, just this amazing lady. And the way that we met was she was holding an apple pie in her lap on the flight, and she looked very uncomfortable. And so my mother was like, let me hold that for a few minutes for you. And they struck up this conversation, and then we became friends. And those kinds of moments are not necessarily happening because we're in technology. But I think it's even sadder when we're not connecting, not just with commuters, but with our own family members, with our own friends. That's when I think we the alarm has to go on in our minds.
Mm-hmm. So instead of apple pie in the lap, now it's apple phone in the lap, and you're never going to ask anyone to touch that one. But I mean, if I'm in line at a coffee shop, and let's say there's five people in line, and I'm at position three, instead of turning and making idle conversation with someone, I will reach into my pocket and check my phone.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a coward's way out.
Yeah. And do you check it at red lights? So your phone? Through confessions?
Is this mic on? This mic isn't on, is it? Yeah, it's on. If it's a really, really red light, I will. But only if it's really red, really, really red.
Well, I tell you what, I've gotten into that habit of grabbing it and looking at the phone to see, what can I catch up on? And then I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing? It is a red light. And I'm telling you, more and more people that I talk to are saying, oh my goodness, it's so embarrassing. I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that also is, there's that verse in the Bible, be still and know that I am God.
Mm.
But we have kind of, where are we going to be still to know that he's God? Because in all these little pauses that, could be a time instead of reaching for your phone at the red light, that could be a time to offer a prayer. Oh, Lord God, have mercy on me. Oh, Lord, I'm about to go into this appointment. Give me favor, you know, give me wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, what are we doing? We're consulting with our little phone instead. And so that's a good challenge, I think, the red light challenge, which means, stop your hand before you pick up your phone and instead offer that as a prayer to God, or say, Lord, I'm listening. Is there anything you want to say to me? And use that time for reflection instead.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't like to be alone with our thoughts. That's why they pipe music into elevators.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's so true.
Why are we listening to music in an elevator? Why can't we just be quiet? Why can't we be alone with our thoughts? Why do we have to have that distraction? Now, I used to think that there was why would you ever try to have your computer on, let's say, when you're watching TV? Then you realize, because you want access to information that comes up on the screen when you're watching TV. When did this guy get signed by the Twins? Oh, I'll check.
Right.
So it's almost like I treat it like it's a friend, but really it's another distraction. It's something else that keeps me incredibly distracted. Now, there's something coming up on, the day of unplugging. Talk about that. That's
already
happened.
They had a national day of unplugging, and it fell between March 4th and March 5th. And if you're like me, you kind of missed that one.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a Harris poll that was a recent poll in January that they polled people about, you know, do you feel like you need to disconnect from technology more? And 2/3 of the adults polled indicated that they do make some kind of attempt to unplug. And over 4 in 10 say, yeah, we do try to unplug at least once a week. And so I think what's interesting about this is, you know, in times past, like I saw you in Triple Espresso 15 years ago at the Horton Theater in San Diego, California. So funny. 15 years ago, when I ushered for that show, you know, I didn't have to say to anyone, put your phone away, you know, silence your phone. It's
mm-hmm.
like that didn't exist. But now, because it's so prevalent, there's this need, like we all recognize, from time to time, we do have to unplug because we are getting too addicted to our technology and we're getting too used to it as being this huge part of our life instead of a part of our life,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I like to think that big screen, you know, you picture someone and they're in front of their flat screen TV and they're kind of have that comatose Cheeto look on their face.
Mm-hmm.
Big screen, small life. Small screen, big life.
Mm, I like that.
If you have screens, but they're not this huge part of your life,
mm-hmm.
then you get to live and you mm-hmm. get to breathe and you get to be renewed and all those things. So I think this idea that we say, yeah, we should unplug, that's where that comes from. And most Americans, 86% of them say they do have difficulty unplugging from at least from their favorite device,
mm-hmm.
from their digital binky, whether it's their cell phone, whether it's their TV set, or whether it's their computer.
Oh, that's funny, Arlene.
Yeah.
When you wake up in the middle of the night, do you check your phone?
I don't.
Okay.
So it's like charging in a different room.
So that's smart, isn't it, to have it charging away from you?
And there are 25% of the people polled do say, you know, for my work, I have to have my phone close to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a restaurant owner, they're a property manager, they're a firefighter, and that makes sense. And you know what? And I heard one person say, you know what, that's cool. You can have it by your bedside because you need it, but put it out of sight. So, like, put something on top of it
mm-hmm.
so that you're not, like, staring at it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if there's an emergency, you'll tend to it. But get in the habit of trying to play a game with yourself, like, how can I put this thing away?
Mm-hmm. Is there some games we can play with ourselves? Like, for example, there's so many great Bible apps and other things on our phones that we can pop on there, little mini devotionals we can read. Is there a little structure we should add into our heads to say, look at, I can surf the web a little bit on my phone, but I'm first going to go to this app and read a verse of the day.
Yeah. And you know, and that is a great idea. If you find that I am really entrenched and I just have to go to do this, like for instance, Proverbs 31, Lisa Turkeris ministry, they have a first five app.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something where the first 5 minutes of your day that you're reading the Bible, you're having a devotion and you're thinking towards the Word of God. So that's certainly a better way to wake up
mm-hmm.
than getting bombarded by your emails and your schedule. And right when you wake up, you're like, what am I going to do today? So if you find that, my goodness, I reach for my phone, and that's not necessarily a habit you want to break, you can adapt it by looking at good things first.
Oh.
But I do encourage those first 5 minutes, you know, if you can do that without your phone, that's even better.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question I'm going to have you answer on the other side of the break, but it seems that people don't experience stuff anymore. They only want to record it.
Yeah.
Because you're at some event or something and all you see is 50 people and 50 phones held up in the air. It's like, does anybody want to watch this live and experience the moment? Or do you just want to have it recorded? Anyway, it's 44 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and come back with more with Arlene Pelican. In just a second, you're listening to Bill Maier Live. Bill Arnold filling in for him today. Be back in a minute. Seven minutes after the hour, welcome back to Dr. Bill Maier Live. He's on vacation. Bill Arnold sitting in. I'm talking to Arlene Pelican. She's an author, a speaker, a national TV person, a blogger. Oh, my goodness. She kind of does it all. She's written a book, several books. She's got 31 Days to a Happy Husband, among others. And we have her on the studio line. We're talking about the digital mess that we're making of our lives by having too much of it. We're trying to figure out a way to use it constructively and use it as a business tool and a personal tool, of course, but also not let it become an addiction, because those things ruin your lives. Arlene, we're just before break, I asked you about the way people are really experience stuff only by recording it. Now, they don't just, you don't see people in the moment just enjoying stuff. They're always having their phones up recording stuff.
Yeah, and then you have to ask yourself, for all these things that I record, how many times do I really go back and enjoy that and watch that? It's just that you, but you feel like I've got to get this. You know, and I had to flash back. I remember in the 90s when I got my first camcorder, the thing was huge. It was like as big as a half gallon of milk, you know, and and I'm Asian. And so my fiance would always tease me like, you are Asian and you are always carrying that camera, because I was just like taping everything. It was like this novelty. And we went, you know, just recently went back and looked at some of those old tapes. Uh-huh. And it was so painful because I thought, why in the world am I taping myself like walking down a hall, showing what the food was, looking at the out the window. I mean, it was so painfully long that I thought, my goodness, Arlene, put down the camera and like talk to the people you're around.
Yeah.
And so I think part of it is being self-aware of realizing, how am I using my camera, and am I missing really enjoying and savoring this because I'm so concerned about, did I get the right shot, or, you know, my arms are in the air. And, you know, I've heard people say, I can't even get a good, like if someone's getting married and they're trying to get photography of the whole church and you know, that beautiful picture of the wedding, and they'll say, we can't get a shot because everyone's got their iPads in the air and their phones in the air, and we can't get a really pretty shot of the wedding.
Right.
So the challenge there would be, you know, like you pick and choose what you're going to tape, but you don't have to tape everything. And then my son recently did, he was in sixth grade, and he recently gave a speech. And so, of course, I did want to tape that because I thought, oh, well, I want to keep that. So I held my phone up. But once I see that he's in the shot, I'm very proactive about not watching the phone, but like looking up at him and really concentrating on him, enjoying that moment, and not caring if I, you know, I did my best to get it and here we go. But I'm really going to look at you now. I'm not going to look at you through my phone. I'm going to look at you and do my best to pretend I'm not holding this phone like a human tripod.
Yeah. And then the worst thing is like when I sometimes I'll put my phone in my pocket and I'll accidentally hit the video button. And the other day I recorded like 15 minutes of my phone in my pocket, which drained my, the bad news is it drained my battery. The good news is my movie was up for 2 Academy Awards, so.
it's working.
Something is working here. But, you know, your point is people, especially children, need to be noticed. I think that is something that is, you know, you can go to a kid's soccer game or a lacrosse game and they can say something like, you know, Mama looked over twice and you weren't looking at me. You're going, what?
Totally.
You know, so if
it's
you,
so true.
If you aren't paying attention to them and you're so busy on your phone, I think you're missing it. I see dads and sons walking and dad's on the phone. I go, Dad, stop.
Yeah. Yeah, that is your time. My husband and I were just talking about, we have kids, they're 6, 9, 11, how that car time is so important. You teach life. You give guidance. You talk about things. And when you're on phones or you're watching the DVD in the car, all those things, it's so important. We go to a martial arts studio, and my husband and I do it with our kids. We are involved in the classes for exercise and also just to be with the kids. But I'll look up at all the parents, And most of them have their heads in their phones for the entire 45-minute class.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids do look, they refer to their parents. But I will say there was one parent last night. I mean, it's funny stuff. This wrestling, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are like, look like pretzels, you know, and it's funny. And I did look, and one of the fathers, he was just had this big grin on his face, was just watching, and he was there. And I thought, wow, that is good. But how sad that we have to say, oh, what a good example. You're watching your child because everybody else isn't. It's like, kudos to you.
Yeah.
You got your eyes on your son. That's great.
Arlene, how old are your kids?
They are 6, 9, and 11.
Okay. Does the 11-year-old want a phone?
Oh, no, he doesn't. And in fact, you know, he knows that he's not going to get one for a little bit. And it's kind of cool that he's the first one,
mm-hmm.
because he's like, that's cool. People make fun of him at school, but he's pretty confident in himself, and he loves to read. World War II is like his favorite subject in the world. So he's got a Winston Churchill book in his backpack instead of an iPad, and he's happy as can be. But one of his friends will tease him in sixth grade, what if you fall in a ditch and you don't have a phone? And he's like, what if you fall in a ditch and you can't get cell reception? So they go back and forth, you know, on it. So I think the independence for a kid to know I'm fine without an electronic device, that's a good and healthy thing for a kid. And believe me, when they're teens and adults, they'll be able to catch up right away. You know, have you heard of what Chick-fil-A is doing? I think they started it in Atlanta.
I did hear that. Yeah, tell our listeners about that challenge.
They are doing this challenge that if you will come into their Chick-fil-A in Atlanta and you put your phone in this box, like a little chicken coop, a little coop for your phone, you put it in your box and you don't touch it, you don't refer to it, you don't look at it, and you do that the entire meal, then your family gets free ice cream. So I think that is so great of Chick-fil-A, but it also speaks, right, of our society. Like, why do we need a coop for our phones? Why
mm-hmm.
can't we do that ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
But we need this. But if we have a reward, we're going to win ice cream. It's like, okay, let's try this. And so I encourage you as a parent, put your phone away during the mealtime with or without a chicken coop. You can make your own chicken coop at home if you want to. And then know that reward of really connecting with your family, that's going to happen as a byproduct, and that is a worthwhile endeavor.
Yeah, so when mom makes the chicken coop, that's going to be a real popular thing around the house.
Exactly.
But
She's going to have to get a lot of ice cream.
I know. We're kind of running out of time, Arlene, but I know this is a big battle between parents and kids. So do you have any advice for the parents because they are at war with their kids about their digital devices and their... You know, when I was a kid, we had a phone in the hallway, and when you got on the phone, everybody heard your conversation. And now you can quietly and secretively have a whole second life where you're texting and up in the middle of the night and all that. So how do we fight that battle?
I would say that hold back as much as you can. Instead of being the parent that's like, oh, my kid's in fourth grade and everyone's got a phone, let's go shopping for a phone next Christmas for my kid. Say, no, we're going to be the last ones. We're going to be the holdout. And then just know there will be other holdouts with you. So if you can delay the phone, limit the video games, so it's not hours and hours a day. If you can push that back as much as you can and hold that line and don't feel fearful and don't feel odd, but just feel confident, like, I'm going to raise my kid a different way because the way the culture is going, it's not really where I want my kid to be. I don't want my kid to be looking at their phone as a habit in sixth grade every spare minute of their day. So hold on. You know, if you think this is the year we're going to buy this, you know, let's wait another year and see how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
And be strong in that and don't feel like, oh, I'm such a bad parent because my kid doesn't have the latest technology. Well, your kid might be a grateful kid. Your kid might be a hardworking kid. Your kid might be disciplined enough to earn a device in the future. And that's more worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, don't feel bad about that. It's okay to hold off. And it's okay to say to your child, it's okay for you to be the only one without this right now,
mm-hmm.
honey.
It's interesting how things that are once a luxury now become a necessity.
Yeah.
And you are not in the social loop if you're a kid and you don't have a phone.
Yeah.
So you're up against a lot. I give parents a lot of credit that are dealing with those issues right now. And it's something to pray about and ask for God's guidance and all that because it's a big deal. Arlene, thanks so much mm-hmm. for being on the show. And thanks for mentioning that you saw Triple Espresso in San Diego. That was a very affectionate time of life for me because I love San Diego.
You did a great job. Thanks so much. So nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks so much. All right, it's 56 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a break and be right back.